Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket imports domestic microbrews. Best selection anyway. You need to stock up for the weekend right now. Little stores moving into part of the area, so stock up right now. Imports domestic microbrews. Water, great selection of soda, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Oh, how great is that? And also, the pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Tell them that Kevin Steve sent you over. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Stephen Curry can hit threes, but did you know he could dunk?
Curry gets inside. And it opens up and an easy dunk for Stephen Curry.
With the left hand.
Curry could get a triple-double.
That's Mike Breen with the call on ESPN with a little help from Mark Jackson there as well. And that is our play-by-play call today. Stephen Curry. We hear him bombing threes all the time. How about a dunk against the Chicago Bulls? All right. We were doing this day in sports history, and I know years gone by, the 49ers and Giants and Matt Barr kicking five field goals. I know Bob Flounders covered that game. Bob now covers Penn State football for the Patriot News and PennLive.com. Bob, welcome back. It is great to have you with us, and if you had a chance, you know, James Franklin's going to have a press conference tomorrow. What would be the first two questions, Bob, that you would ask James Franklin?
I would like to ask him, honestly, I'd like to ask him about if he was surprised at all that Bob Shoup left, only because, you know, this is a guy that right out of the gate stressed, I know assistant coaching stuff, and I know that they got to look out for themselves, but he was all about loyalty, coaching loyalty at the start of his reign, and he had to make a difficult decision with John, and you know, just hearing some things about Coach Shoup, this one caught me by surprise a little bit. I thought he was all set to stay. I know he had that press conference down, I think in Jacksonville, where he said, you know, he hoped he was there forever and ever and ever, and you know, they were building something great, and then you know, not long after, you know, it looked pretty clear like Tennessee was coming after him hard. That would be one. And the other question I probably would want to ask James is, you know, do you feel like your staff is in place, and why do you feel like your special teams are being directed at a level that's conducive to winning? Because I do think that's still an area as Penn State goes into 2016 that I have some pretty major reservations about just because of the way that they consistently let the team down.
Okay. When you look at the elevation of Brent Pry after Bob Shoup, now you have to, once something happens, you have to be able to react to make a decision around it. What did you think about the elevation of Brent Pry?
I thought it was a no-brainer. I know that that Bob and Brent work very well together. I actually talked to Bob about, you know, how he kind of calls his defense and what goes into it. Bob's obviously a very aggressive play caller. As you watch him play, they dial up a lot of blitzes. A lot of them are unorthodox. And he says that Brent's kind of the guy that always kind of vets the game plans and talks Bob out of some things and says, look, you can do this, you can't do that, you better do this. So I do think that Brent has a very good class, a really good grasp, excuse me, of what Penn State, what the talent base is like. He doesn't really need to, you know, it's not like it's a new DC that's got to come in and kind of evaluate the talent. I think he knows what he has. And I do remember, I think James's first game over in Ireland, I believe the headsets went out. Bob Shoup was upstairs.
Yeah.
And Brent ran the defense pretty seamlessly, I believe, in the first half until Bob could go down there. I do think that it was a move I think that everyone saw coming, and obviously the right move.
Also, Matt Limegrover taking over in the offensive line with Herb Hand exiting. We've seen Minnesota play, obviously, when he was there. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, two things. I think, I have seen Minnesota play. Saw them play Bill O'Brien's 2013 team. They were able to run the ball. Got a chance to see them play a couple times this year. They were able to kind of run the ball down Michigan's throat, and they should have probably won that game.
Yeah.
I believe it was a primetime game. The other thing, Steve, that I just kind of wonder about, and hopefully maybe James can kind of speak to it, is either it's the world's biggest coincidence or both his OC and his O-line coach both went to Pittsburgh Central Catholic about 5 years apart.
Right.
I have to think that maybe there's a chance that maybe Joe Moorhead had a little bit of an input into what they were getting in him and maybe kind of steer the conversation. I don't know if that's to be true, but that's something I think that James will be asked about. I don't think it's a coincidence. I do think there's got to be some kind of connection there.
We'll see how the quarterback thing plays out during the course of the spring, but at least a lot of people had a chance to watch Trace McSorley. Once he got his feet under him in the bowl game, Bob, what did you think of his play?
Couldn't have been more impressed. What really jumped out at me, Steve, is you're right. It took him a series or two, and that was obviously to be expected. But in that second half, Penn State's offense faced a number of huge plays on third and fourth down just to keep it a game. They were down three scores, and Trace made the play on every time they needed one up until the last play of the game, and he gave it his best shot. He kind of rose to the occasion. The bigger the play was, the bigger the down was. And when you see a quarterback consistently do that against a very athletic SEC defense, I think it does bode well. I was very impressed with him. Steve, I know you see practice quite a bit. I've heard some very good things about Tommy Stevens as well. I heard he's really kind of added some size to his frame. He looks good. I know that Trace's teammates really think highly of him, but I also hear that Tommy Stevens has done some good things in a very short time at Penn State as well.
Yeah, he has. He, to his credit, he really has in a short period of time because he came in last year early, and Everything's coming at him at 1,000 miles an hour, and it looks like to me he's got the thing down where things look like they're going at him at 50 or 60 miles an hour now. So, I mean, that's a credit to him.
He
looks stronger. Looks like the weight room has helped him. Now, for the first time in his life, he's really going through a winter program. I think that'll be beneficial to him as well. Who are a couple guys that you look at on each side of the ball, Bob, that can be building blocks moving forward?
Building blocks moving forward. A couple of wild cards for sure. I really was impressed with John Reed. What he was able to do almost from the first snap of the season when Grant Haley got banged up. He is a guy I think that with this off season, because he was not a January enrollee. He just showed up in August, and I think they were talking about him right away. I think he's a guy that's going to help in the secondary. A guy on defense, Steve, that I really think is very, very close to being a good player is Torrence Brown.
Yes.
As a defensive end. I know Penn State's got some issues elsewhere. I think they're a little bit short at linebacker. I think Naeem Wortman and his recovery is going to be a big deal to the defense. Those are two young guys on the defensive side that I really think have a chance to help the team. On the offensive side, for me, it's really, Steve, to me, it's really about the offensive line.
Yeah. Whether it be
the redshirt freshman that did not play much, taking a step forward, or even, Steve, there's a couple of really good first-year players. I mean, really good first-year players. I think that I know it's not fair to say, well, they're going to play right away, but I think they have the ability to be fast-tracked. And I do think that, when you talk about this offensive line, you have a 1,000-yard rusher who's obviously a special kid. You have an 1,100-yard receiver. you have an athletic quarterback who can extend the play, which I think will help the offensive line a little bit. But those guys have to – somebody, two or three guys are going to have to step to the front, whether it's, you know, the players entering their third year, whether it's a kid like Sterling Jenkins, who I know was a little rough around the edges and kind of had some things he had to get ironed out, reshaping the body. And they do have a couple, you know, this 2016 class has, I think, a couple of special players. To me, that's what I think you have to watch. The offensive line has to, when they line up, I think, in the fall, I really think the offensive line's going to need to look a little bit different, or I think they're just going to invite some of the same problems.
2016 will be the first season since the 2011 season where Penn State has the ability to have the full complement of 85 scholarships. What will you be looking for now signs of coming out of this and then moving forward?
Well, I think one of the things is going to be just depth. I mean, James has talked about it. You know, as the game goes on, if you can't substitute and you can't bring guys in off the bench that kind of, you know, can hold the fort. One of the great things about the Penn State defense in 2014, Steve, was it had a really good second team defensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you had a guy like, you know, Carl Nassib, who hadn't got, he was a second team defensive lineman on the 2014 defense, just as an example. I think it's going to be about depth is what I'm going to be looking for. Does the coaching staff feel good about the second team guys they're going to be playing on defense, whether it's in the secondary, linebacker, or defensive line, and an offensive line? You know, I think that, you know, if you're going to have some success, you can't just play. I know there's some the repetition there and some cohesion there, but, you know, you got to be able to put in a couple other offensive linemen or tight ends and not miss a beat. And I just don't think that Penn State's there yet. And you're right. This is going to be a deeper team the next couple of years than it needs to be, because I do think, you know, the last few years they've been stretched so thin because of some of those issues that they've been dealing with. And I think that shows up, you know, in the second halves of games when you're in the Big Ten East and you're trying to play Ohio State and Michigan State and now Michigan. So I think that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, in fact, I think I saw something, I think it was this morning, that said there were 64-star plus guys recruited in the Big Ten right now that are verbal.
Yeah.
52
yeah.
of the 60 are between Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. So.
Oh, yeah. Steve, I really do think, and you look at some of the other programs, I think that you're going to see in the next couple of years maybe step forward a little bit. You can make a pretty strong argument that division-wise, there's not a better division in college football, I think, at the start of the 2016 season.
Amazing. Look forward to seeing you soon, Bob.
Steve, take care. All you guys, stay healthy. If you guys get snow, let's make sure you get shoveled out. take your vitamin C. It's cold and flu season. We're going to need you in April for the blue-white game.
All right. Sounds great, Bob. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Bob Flanders and, again, James Franklin scheduled for that press conference tomorrow morning at 10. There'll be no major announcements, nothing going on. This is a year-end press conference as scheduled. At least give the media a chance to ask about Herb Hand going to Auburn, about Matt Limegrover coming in to take over in the offensive line, about Bob Shoup going to Tennessee, about Tim Banks coming in now to be the safeties coach, about Joe Moorhead. So there'll be a lot to talk about, although he's already addressed the Joe Moorhead thing. He had plenty of opportunity to do that at the Tax Slayer Bowl. And then moving forward as to what he sees. It's a big recruiting weekend for Penn State. We had Ryan Snyder on in the previous half hour talking about the recruiting weekend, because this is where they're taking all the verbal commitments are all coming together this weekend, all of them. And that's the big part right there. There had been one verbal that had talked about maybe going out to UCLA this weekend. He is not. He is coming to Penn State. So that's just an addendum to what Ryan Snyder had. And so that's what's happening this weekend. Then there'll be one final push weekend coming up. And then on February 3rd, it'll be National Letter of Intent Day. And we are putting together the National Letter of Intent Day show right now. I'll be doing the show from Iowa. As a matter of fact, I will not be here for National Letter of Intent Day. So we're putting that show together right now, and so I'll do the show from Iowa City, and we'll take you through. And several of the people that you've heard on here over the past few weeks will be a part of that show on February 3rd that we're looking forward to. So that's the story right there. Looking forward to it very much. Joe Person, Charlotte Observer, coming up in the final half hour. We'll preview the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals for the NFC Championship. And again, this is the difference. You know, Kevin was talking the other day about the popularity of the NBA. How popular is the NBA? NFL number one, the ratings for the Olympics were two, and the NBA three. But here's the difference between the NFL and the NBA, and it's a big difference. It doesn't matter whether it's the Arizona Cardinals or the Carolina Panthers winning, or the Denver Broncos or the New England Patriots winning. Super Bowl Sunday is going to get a gigantic number. Super Bowl 50 could get near a 50 rating. The NBA, to me, has absolutely made it as a league. If the NBA final were the Utah Jazz and the Atlanta Hawks, the NBA has had its best players playing for its marquee franchises. Now, you got a little bit of that with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors last year. You know, San Francisco, Oakland is a big market. Cleveland, of course, you know, is a decent-sized market. But you had the stars, star of all stars in LeBron James, an automatic ratings grab, and Stephen Curry has become an automatic ratings grab. Could the Jazz and the Hawks play one another in a final? In all likelihood, they may have a ratings grab on there in somebody. They could. But to me, that would be the litmus test. Two franchises that are not marquee franchises going head-to-head against one another that are not traditional powers, what kind of rating would that draw? You get the hardcore NBA fan. There's no doubt about that. But would you get the big number? LeBron James is the difference maker because the casual fan, everybody knows who LeBron James is. He crosses all sorts of lines in terms of recognition, all sorts of lines. And that makes a big difference. And they've been fortunate, the NBA has, because he is that good, that the last five finals have featured LeBron James. I mean, that's helped. So, and not only the last five finals feature LeBron James, you've also had, you know, the Spurs in it, which the Spurs may not be a great ratings draw, but they play beautiful basketball, and they bring the best of the game out. So, I mean, that would be a litmus test down the road if that were to happen. A couple of not-so-mainstream franchises facing each other in a championship round. Look, the Arizona Cardinals and the Carolina Panthers are not mainstream franchises. Super Bowl 50 is still going to draw a gigantic number on February 7th. And I think that tells you the power of the NFL. It was great to have Rob Cooper on today, and of course we'll be previewing the game with Joe Person from the Charlotte Observer coming up in the next half hour. Want to point out, I hope you had a chance to check out an article yesterday. Dick Girardi, my broadcast partner for the last dozen years on the Penn State Sports Network, is also the columnist for the Philadelphia Daily News. He wrote a great article yesterday on 60 years of the Big Five and the Palestra. 60 years, Big Five and the Palestra. He covered Temple and LaSalle on Wednesday night before he came in and did the game with me last night. And it was just brilliant because as you read the article, you could feel, see, and hear the article come to life. That's why I check it out. It's on Philly.com, Dick Girardi. Strongly recommend it. When we were in Las Vegas, a waiter at Paris comes up and he says, "Oh, you guys are from Penn State. Hey, I'm from Philly. Great." He says, and Jeff Tarman says, "Well, you know who this guy is." He goes, "No." He says, "Dick Girardi." He says, No. Dick Girardi? Really? I feel like I've met Shakespeare. Needless to say, we have poked that needle a few times along the way. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestic microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, stock up for the weekend. Also, water, snacks, soda. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Coming up, we preview the NFC Championship game on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year's New Year's resolution at Sunbury Motors Kia is easy.
We want to see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Easy as in 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 models, as well as the 2016 Sereno, Sportage, Sedona, Forte, and the iconic Soul. And remember, all new Kias come with an easy 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So with a huge selection of quality Kias, all clearly sale priced, backed by one of the best warranties in the business, well, it just doesn't get any easier than this to ring in the new year with a new Kia. So resolve to come down to the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at SunburyMotors.com. 2016 is going to be easy at Sunbury Motors Kia. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. And today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere, without question. You need to stock up now. It's a big sports weekend. You want and a little bit of snow coming through the area, so stock up right now. It's good, solid advice, and you know it is. And on top of that, they have water, soda. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Great snacks, too. Great selection. Store's really well laid out, right? Plenty of help to get the cases out to the car. Plenty of free parking. Pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up today. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And time now for our Bozo of the Day. Well, it goes back to last weekend's game in Foxborough, the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs. You can't make this stuff up. The referees forgot the footballs and the pressure gauges needed for Saturday's Chiefs-Patriots game. So the Massachusetts State Police gave the equipment a police escort to Gillette Stadium. The referees forgot the footballs and the pressure gauges. You can't make this stuff up. It's rich. It's rich. Everything is rich. It's unbelievable. You can't make it up. I mean, if you tried to make it up, you couldn't. People would not believe you. And once again, another saga of footballs in Foxborough. They forgot them at the hotel, along with the pressure gauges. So the Massachusetts State Police gave them a police escort to the stadium. Our sports bozo of the day. The Patriots will be playing in the AFC Championship game Sunday. It's the first game. Kickoff about 3:05 in Denver. at Invesco Field at Mile High, the Patriots and the Broncos head-to-head. The nightcap, and they alternate every year as to how they do this, and the NFC gets the nightcap this year. Next year, the AFC will get the nightcap. So the nightcap this time will be the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals at 6:40 on Fox. So once again, the NFL, again, because of the alternating, the game in the Mountain time zone goes first, and the game in the Eastern time zone goes second. But you alternate. And next year, no matter what, the AFC will get the nightcap. Just how it works. And Carolina and Arizona will be a really good game to watch. We're looking forward to that. Cam Newton, Carson Palmer, the Carolina Panthers trying to get to their second ever Super Bowl. The Arizona Cardinals trying to get to their second ever Super Bowl. And it makes it, obviously, an intriguing matchup between the two. We are looking forward to it very much. And I think the seeing Cam Newton in this spot, I'm going to get to Joe Person here in a few moments from the Charlotte Observer, to talk about the Panther season, about Cam Newton. And one of the topics I'm going to bring up with Joe here in just a few moments will be the fact that, look, they lost their top receiver during the course of the preseason. They lost him, Kelvin Benjamin. Really good player out of Florida State. Helped lead Florida State to the national championship. He was Jameis Winston's top target and lost him. And yet they have come through this with a bunch of good receivers, not great ones. There's no Antonio Brown in this group, I can assure you of that. And Cam Newton's had a heck of a season. So with that, we bring in Joe Person, who is the beat writer for the Charlotte Observer, who covers the Carolina Panthers. Joe, welcome. It is great to have you with us.
Yeah, like I was telling you off air, I have to represent for my North Central Pennsylvania piece. State College, but also I think I've told you before, I'm a Williamsport guy. So thanks for having me on, man. Really appreciate it.
I speak in Williamsport every year as I make my Penn State football broadcasting tour. So Williamsport is always a stop, always.
Awesome.
All right. I want to start with something that happened early on with the Panthers and how Cam Newton overcame it. Kelvin Benjamin, I think is an outstanding receiver. How did they overcome his loss in order to make this a great season for them?
You know, that's the million-dollar question, and I wish I had a really in-depth, provocative answer, but the fact of the matter is, it's Cam. It's Cam that has put this offense on his shoulders, really put the team on his shoulders, and he has made these guys who really – taken individually, Jericho Cotchery, who your listeners will remember from his Steeler days. Devin Funchess, the second round pick from Michigan.
Yep.
Philly Brown, who just sort of was an afterthought. I mean, this is it. And Cam has turned them into decent, above average type receivers. And he puts the ball on the money. He's making the good reads. You know, early in his career, not so much. He relied on his athleticism. He threw a lot of balls kind of up for grabs. Even last year, let Benjamin kind of do his thing. But this year, it's been pretty amazing what he's been able to do.
Yeah, I know. When Jack Ham and I watched Philly Brown at Ohio State, we thought, okay, good. You know, we knew that Ted Ginn was exciting, but not consistent. And Devin Funchess mostly played tight end at Michigan until they moved him to wideout. So it's really been a remarkable transition as to what they've done with this wide receiving group.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? We should mention, too, the role of the tight end, Greg.
Well, he's outstanding.
He has become really one of the premier receiving tight ends in the league. And when they traded for him the same year, he got here the same year that Cam did, 2011. He had kind of become an afterthought at Mike Morris's passing offense in Chicago, didn't use the tight ends much. The Panthers got him for a third-round pick. And he's grown as Cam has grown. I mean, he very early on, he became Cam's security blanket, and he's just terrific. And he was really overlooked in this NFC South for a couple years because he was playing in the same division as Tony Gonzalez and then Jimmy Graham before the Saints traded Graham to Seattle. So he couldn't even really get any good run or good pub in his own division. But now, Gonzalez, of course, retired. Graham to Seattle and now injured. And he is the cream of the crop among NFC South tight ends, and really maybe, with the exception of Gronkowski and a couple others, he's right up there among any pass-catching tight end.
Joe, you watch Cam Newton all the time. So when you watch him, what has made him special? What makes him different from other guys?
Well, first of all, you've seen how he's built. I mean, there aren't many 6'6", 260-pound quarterbacks who can run and throw around every corner.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny, and back to Olsen training camp. I don't know if you remember it. I'm sure you did. It kind of blew up nationally. Newton and Josh Norman got into it
right.
At training camp.
Yep.
And the storyline and the narrative was, oh my goodness, what's the franchise quarterback doing? You know, he's going to get hurt fighting a teammate in August. And Olsen comes into the press room the following day, and he's like, hey, can we put a stop to this? I'm not necessarily worried about our 6'6", 265-pound quarterback getting injured in a slap fight with our 200-pound corner. So that was pretty funny. But he really, truly is. I mean, he's one of these guys. You've been around athletes for long enough. I mean, not to say we're jaded, but you kind of like, you know, you're whatever in terms of size I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But you see Cam Newton, and other players are like this. I've heard other players around the league, like, man, I didn't know that guy was really that big and that put together until I saw him, you know, was lined up next to him on Sunday afternoon. And on top of all that, I mentioned the growth as a quarterback, and he's always had the gifts. We saw that at Auburn, taking that. He was there for about 11 months, and in the process won a national championship and a Heisman Trophy. But it was a pretty simplistic offense. He had that stint at junior college, so he didn't come polished. He didn't arrive in the NFL polished like let's say an Andrew Luck. Or even like a Matt Ryan. So what he's done, and Mike Shula, and before him, Rob Chudzinski, the two coordinators that Cam has worked under here, deserve a lot of credit as well.
Yeah. Keekly obviously is a special player, but tell us a little bit about Davis, because I've always felt he was a special player who's overcome a lot. What has he meant to Carolina's success and keeping him healthy this year on defense?
He's probably a good question. He's probably the heartbeat of this team, quite honestly. He's been around the longest. He showed up in first-round pick out of Georgia. He was a safety in 2005. That year was the last time that this team had made it to the as far as the NFC Championship game. It was kind of a surprising little run. And he was a rookie, didn't play a whole lot. I think he was a special teams player. And so, in fact, Keekly said this yesterday. He said, man, more than anybody else, we want this for Thomas Davis. He's been through three ACL surgeries on his right knee. The first known player to have overcome that on the same knee. He's been through the ups and the downs, the thicks and the thins, and oh, by the way, it's not just like he's the mascot. I mean, he's still playing at a very high level. And he said, and I think there is some real merit to this. Davis said, a year and a half ago, he said, you know, those years that I was rehabbing and was not beating my body up over the course of a 16 or 20 game NFL season, he said that's added some years to my career. It's counterintuitive as that sort of sounds with the three ACLs. I think there's something to it. He didn't, you know, his shoulders were okay with sometimes those on linebackers get dinged up in the labrums and so forth. And I don't know how much longer he's going to be doing this, but he's still playing at a very high level. He's very good against the run. And especially he blows up these underneath, like the check down routes to the running backs as well as anybody just moving forward, you know, getting there with a head of steam and then kind of arriving with an attitude.
I thought it was kind of I thought it was actually symbolic in a lot of ways that he's the one that recovered the onside kick and he took an incredible shot and was like, so? Because he just, he's a gamer.
No doubt. In fact, I wrote a little story about that day. And first of all, it was interesting that they had him not out there as a blocker or a wedge guy. They had him. They wanted him in that position. I saw it. I texted the special teams coach that night. I said, Thomas Davis? And he said, you know what? That is the kind of team hands teams like a parachute. You don't need it often, but man, when you need it, you really need it. And Thomas Davis is a guy we trust implicitly in every situation. And you're right. Darn if it wasn't pretty cool to see him come down with that ball and take that shot on his knee, of all things, and come up smiling.
Wow. Ironically, I did Josh Norman's first collegiate game. Coastal Carolina played here at Beaver Stadium against Penn State. It was the opening game of the season. He played, and I remember Jack and I thought, that corner out there's got a little attitude. What is he, the lockdown corner that every team needs? What does he bring to the table that allows them to move chess pieces around?
Well, that's a great question. And, he's taken some knocks, actually, on social media from some receivers in this league, particularly DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And their knock is that the Panthers don't play a lot of man. So how can you call him a true lockdown corner in the sense, like for instance, this weekend, Patrick Peterson, you'll see in a lot of man coverages because of all the blitzing the Cardinals do.
Right.
Under Sean McDermott, the Panthers are more of kind of a cover three team. But Norman can do it all. I mean, he really can. Now, the one thing they don't have him do, and it's been it's certainly of note this weekend, is he does not play inside in the slot. He doesn't line up against any slot receivers with very few, a handful, two or three times a game at the most exception. Well, that's where Larry Fitzgerald spends most of his time.
Right.
So, everybody has wanted nationally has wanted to paint this matchup, and I understand why, of Norman versus Fitzgerald. Well, and they'll face each other some this weekend, but really Norman's going to be on Michael Floyd and maybe John Brown outside, and he'll cover them very well. But ultimately, it's going to be a guy like Cortland Finnegan, the Panthers' nickel corner, who wasn't even on this team 2 months ago. I mean, it was about 2 months ago they signed. Mid-November, they had some injuries. He's hanging out in Nashville, kind of working out, semi-retired. And now he finds himself in a very pivotal spot in the most important game this franchise has had in a decade. And he's going to have his hands full. And back to your Kuechly and Davis question, they're going to help out. They're going to have to. And Kuechly has really become a lot better. He was a tackler when he first got here. Now he's the total package, and he's pretty good in coverage as well.
As Dallas and Seattle both found out, he scored touchdowns against both of them with picks, if I have my information right.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, for you, Joe, checklist going into this game. What's on your checklist heading into this game that are the swing factors to you?
Pressure on both sides of the ball.
And that's where Allen comes in. Can they get anything out of him?
I don't think so. I think right now they're kind of allowing a 12-year veteran who's never played in the Super Bowl every chance and every minute he can to rehab. But ultimately, I don't think he plays in this game. And about the Cardinals' blitz. I think Cam Newton is more equipped to handle the Cardinals' blitz, as good as it's been and as diverse as it's been under that first-year coordinator, James Betcher. I think Cam handles that better Sunday than I think Carson Palmer will, the Panthers' pressure, assuming they get it. He's not a mobile guy.
Right.
Does have a quick release, which helps him. But I think the Panthers feel like I told you how they're going to struggle in the secondary at spots occupied by guys not named Josh Norman.
Right.
But I think their best defense defense for that is going to be getting after Carson Palmer. And does that mean blitzing a little more? Sean McDermott's not a big blitz guy. You already said Jared Allen's probably not going to be there. Keep your eye on 97. He's the Panthers. He's a situational speed pass rusher named Mario Addison.
Yep.
And I think if they're going to have success getting to Carson Palmer and 99, their defensive tackle's been awesome, K-Watt Short. I mean, he very quietly put up a Pro Bowl season out of a position that doesn't always get a lot of interior pressure. He had 11 sacks, so I think that's the key, both sides of the ball, and I don't know. I think it's going to be a great game. At this point, I'm not picking against the Panthers. I've got them winning by like a field goal in a pretty high-scoring game.
Absolute pleasure, Joe. Appreciate it so much.
Likewise, Steve. Always a pleasure being on.
Joe Person, Charlotte Observer. And again, those Williamsport roots, we tapped into him. He's covered the Panthers for years. And he may be covering the Super Bowl. And I talked to Joe afterward, and he said, if he can work it out, should the Panthers win Super Bowl week, if he can work it out. And again, he's going to be busy beyond words. But he said he would try to work us in. And he's the one that brought it up. I didn't ask him. He's the one that brought it up. Work us in Super Bowl week if the Panthers do win the game. So that wraps it up for today. Great to have you with us. Our thanks to Bob Flounders from PennLive.com, Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, Penn State baseball coach Rob Cooper, and Joe Person from the Charlotte Observer. A lot of fun on today's show. And today's show, of course, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. You need to stock up tonight. They have the best selection of beer anywhere. Plus, they have a great selection of soda, snacks. They also roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, water, and the pickle bar is second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up on Monday, we will do the show in Columbus because the Nittany Lion basketball team will be there to play Ohio State. All right, big weekend coming up. I hope everybody enjoys it and be safe out there. Thanks for joining us on News Radio 1070 WKOK.